Hey everyone, thanks for listening to the Western Hunting Hub podcast. This episode you're about to hear is kind of broken up into some different segments. I recorded a bunch here and there. I recorded, I'll have a little piece right now, present time, January 23rd. I'll have most of it recorded when I was deer hunting in early December in Colorado. So as I say, I'm here in hunting camp. Gives you an idea. That's December 1st. And right now is January 23rd. So it took me a little while to kind of piece this episode together and get it done. So that's just to help you understand the timeline of that, and look forward to sharing this information with you. And like I told you in the last episode, stick with me. If I'm not hitting every week, I'm going to hit every other week at least. And I got a lineup of podcasts, just working on getting times to get those scheduled. But if you have any contacts, folks you want me to interview, any good topics, as always, I love hearing those. I hear them and write them down. So they're definitely things I take seriously and look for those good guests. Got a great one that, like I told you before, something on chronic wasting disease that I'm really looking forward to. If I can get her on here soon. And then a couple other contacts, one with Hoyt that, with their new lineup, talking about some things with them, as well as I found this guy that digs up dinosaur bones. He was on that show Dino Hunter that I didn't know anything about, but kind of want to see if he wants to come on and do a podcast. Totally different kind of hunting. I thought it'd be kind of crazy, kind of cool. Got a couple other folks I'm not even going to mention because I don't even know if they'll probably just reject me or they'll jump right on. You never know. And then my antler episode, antler buyer episode, is coming up here. That one is going to be the secrets of antler buying and selling, so that you get an idea of what your antlers are worth and understand that market a little bit better. Going to work on that as a collaboration with another antler buyer. So that one is going to be, you got to give me your email address to get that episode. So I'll work on it. Got to work, schedule a time to get that one done. So again, we'll jump right into this episode, and thanks for listening. I'm on my last hunt right now. Mostly it's my last main hunt, I guess I should say. Actually, that's not even true at all. I'm still hunting, and we're going to keep rolling with some hunts through the end of the year, and maybe sooner it'll end, but we'll see. Depends on how successful I can be, how soon I can be successful. So in this episode, I'm sharing some lessons learned, some stories from this season on two different kinds of hunts I've had. And one is still happening right now. I'm sitting in my camper in my long underwear. I just had some supper. Had my Coors. And yeah, so I'm just out on my own, my camper, having a good time, just me and my dog. So not having anyone around for the hunt can be challenging sometimes. Sometimes it can be beneficial. So that's I got to make some phone calls throughout the day to kind of chat with some people, because it's hard not being around people sometimes for me. So, but I did want to talk about, I've got two totally different hunts that I've done this year, like my main hunts, and I want, that were my focus. I know I went to Minnesota, did my bow hunt for bear, but I'm not talking about that one in this episode. I'm talking about my backcountry bow hunt in South Dakota, and then my not so backcountry hunt in eastern Colorado, which is really almost backwards. When you think of Colorado, you think about going into the backcountry, driving or hiking a long ways in, needing to be in shape, and so on. That's not the case on this hunt. My backcountry hunt was in South Dakota, and it was a definite need to be in shape, hike around through some hills, and see if I couldn't find a deer. So that's the first hunt that I want to discuss, tell you about some of those things I learned, and it ended up being a pretty successful hunt. I had a great time. Now, I will say I am not satisfied with how I've hunted this year. Patience is going to be my goal for 2023. And the other thing I've thought about is just there's no time for redemption opportunities. And what I mean by not being satisfied by how I've hunted this year, it's not that I haven't filled tags. I absolutely have so far filled every tag of the 12 that I have. I'm only halfway through that. Got some doe tags left. Got an archery tag. Got this Colorado tag left. Been doing pretty well, but I'm just not satisfied. And not satisfied in the world meaning of how these hunts are going down. Am I making good decisions? Am I making good shots? Am I reading that animal right? And I've noticed that, man, I screwed that up. And why didn't I just sit? Why didn't I just be patient and wait? I have such a hard time just chilling out, glassing, looking. I am a mover. I have to get up and move, and I just don't have that patience. Because if I don't see what's going on, that is the hard thing for me. I screwed that up today yet again. If I had just had the patience and went and sat on one of the corners of a field, I think I would have had a shot at a really nice buck. So let's go back. We got my bow hunt in November, early November. South Dakota is an awesome state for bow hunting because we can hunt from September 1st all the way to the end of the year. I reserved my hunting time for that early November. I wanted to hunt. It was kind of the start of the rut, and really it was over my birthday weekend. That's kind of when I had a lot of time to do it. So I spent 5 days. Now, I didn't need the whole 5 days, but I was prepared for a five-day hunt. I went down to an area that has some ability to hike into some stuff, and I know that's where there's been a lot of big mule deer killed in the past. That was the goal. Wanted to kill a mule deer with my bow, and I put a lot of preparation into this hunt. Had scouted out some good spots where I wanted to go through Onyx. Hadn't really stepped foot on there. Just had gotten some good intel and kind of got the idea of where I wanted to go. So pull up to the gate to where I can start hiking in, and I thought I left my rangefinder. I was about an hour and a half, 2 hours from home. Realized I don't have my rangefinder. If I didn't have my rangefinder, I was going home to get it. And luckily it had just fallen. It was right next to my seat there, kind of squished down in there for some reason. So didn't have to ditch that hunt, and I was able to continue on. So hiked in quite a ways, and just being so early, all I was seeing was does and coyotes and young bucks. I only spent a day and a half there and hiked 5, 6, 7 miles in and just was looking. And probably what I decided, probably realized what had happened and why I was not seeing quality deer is just because it was pre-rut. Those mule deer were not rutting hard yet. They were not even really rutting. It was pretty pre-rut. So they were hidden, those big bucks were. The younger bucks were starting to group up. I could see them with some does. They weren't pushing or anything, but they were just kind of there. And I just wasn't satisfied with that hunt. It wasn't my kind of hunt I was looking for. The terrain wasn't as open. It was pretty heavily treed. It was a little bit more foothills of the Black Hills. So you've got some hilly country and river bottom and some more mountainous. And I was looking for some more open country, be able to have a good time and see some animals. I think that's where I thrive, is being able to see from a distance, knowing where those animals are, and making my play from there. When I can't see because of trees, vegetation, whatever, I feel like that's where I am blind to what's going on, and I struggle with that. And it's just not my favorite style of hunting. So I ditched. The next day I just hiked out and went to a whole new area. Didn't even stop home. Went out probably 3 hours from where that was and hiked into an area I'd been last year on my birthday and had had a really close encounter. Hiked into that area, and again, does.
just saw a group of nine does. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't know where these bucks are. And just feeling down, like I'm not going to find anything. I was ready to hike out. So I hunted that evening and I started hiking out thinking I'm going to go somewhere else, or I'm going to go hunt the hills, which is an easier bow hunt. It's like, I'm going to go do that instead of this in the prairie. I had almost given up, and something kind of sparked a little, no, turn around and get after it. I was probably 3/4 of a mile to my truck, and I turned around and went back in there, set up camp not far from where I was supposed to be in the morning. I knew where these deer had been making their way down from a field through the rolling hills, and then they go wherever. I don't understand mule deer movements. It's besides from food down to cover to water, I don't understand. They're like, I'm going to go up and over this hill. I'm going to go back over this hill. I'm going to go into this draw. Don't understand it. None of it makes any sense to me. Based on what I saw during that hunt, the deer were, and I watched some does move over a hill, and then later on they came back. Like, why did they even need to go over the hill? There's plenty of food right there. So it doesn't make any sense. So anyway, I woke up, sat in a spot that I had to have my wind in the face, the wind in my face, and it was cold. I was totally dressed up as much as I could be, and I was cold and miserable. And I was like, I gotta sit. But it just didn't work. I couldn't sit there any longer because I was freezing. So I got up, turned around on the other side of the tree so I could have the wind to my back just to warm up just a little bit. Saw some deer coming. And actually a buck that was pushing some does. He was running her all over the place. And all the does were kind of on high alert because they're, again, not ready for that buck to be running and chasing them all around. So they were kind of up and around and all over the place. And I thought, oh yeah, they're gonna be making their way right here, because I knew that's the path they were gonna be taking. And of course, nope, they went up a different draw. I went to go peek over and gone. They disappeared. I don't know where they went, how they got there. That's the second time that in that same place where those deer just disappear. It's open, but there's little draws. And because of that, I can see most of the exits to these areas where these deer are, but they just disappear, and I don't know how they do it. So I went back to my original spot, and again, kicking myself. It's so easy to feel sorry for yourself. But one of my main things for the year is you need to be on all the time. And that was a hard thing to do at this moment, but did a little gut check saying you need to be on and ready all the time. So I went and chilled out for a little bit, say I never know what's going to come back around. Sure enough, it's probably that same buck comes coming over the hill chasing this old doe, that poor old girl. I had seen her the night before. I don't think you can shoot a lot of does in this unit, and she had just this like deep chest, swaying back, belly was deep, and her ears were, they almost looked broken, almost like an old farm cat that ears froze off. They're all dangling down, and she was the last one at the night before to climb up the hill to the field. And you could just see her. She was the grandma of the group, where she just would make her way up, and she'd have to stop here and there saying, yeah, I'm coming. Just an old doe, and which was kind of fun to see. You could recognize her. Oftentimes you don't get to recognize different does, but this one for sure I could. And that poor buck, or poor doe, was chasing that old girl around. And they kind of disappeared into a small draw with 4, 5, 6 trees in it, something like that. And so I thought, all right, they're going to give them a little bit. Maybe they'll come this way. Sure enough, they didn't. So I thought, oh, I'm going to make my way to that draw. I think I can peek over, do it like you see everybody else doing that, where you know where they bedded, and you can sneak up behind them. Problem is, if I'd gone up behind them, the wind would have gone down to them. So I went down below the draw. It was a pretty narrow opening to that draw, so I thought maybe I could sneak by and they're not going to see me. Even though if they're bedded, they're going to be looking downhill. So I snuck down there, and as I hit to the bottom of that opening, I peer over, and sure enough, there's that doe she was feeding, and just making her way. They weren't bedded at all. It's like, okay, so they're gonna come right down this draw. And I laid back there thinking, oh, she's going to come 5 yards, and I'll draw and shoot at whatever's coming behind her. And then I realized that's not going to work. That open country, that doe is going to spook and take the buck with, and it's never going to work. So I just peer back up, and sure enough, the buck is there walking up at 65 yards is where I ranged him. He take a couple more steps, so it must have been 70, and settled in, released, arrow stuck. Not where I wanted. And yeah, 65, 70 yards with some wind was probably not the best, but it was good height-wise. It's just way back, and I got super lucky that he took off. I don't really know how it went that far back, because the wind, it didn't even make sense for the wind. Maybe that wind was doing something weird. But he took off and ran about 400 yards, and I took off after him just to go see up and over the hill to see where he was going to go, because I struggle to find blood sometimes in that open country, because you don't know exactly where they go. Once you get over to where you that initial hit, it's hard sometimes in open country to see, get within that 20 yards of where that blood is. So I took off after him, went up and over the hill, and I could see where he had started to pile up, and died right away. Ended up being a really, really lucky kind of ordeal, so I'm pretty excited about that, but not proud of it. And that's another one of those examples of I'm not satisfied with how I hunted this year. Yet another bad shot or a miss or something like that where that shouldn't have happened. I should have had a better shot based on the practice that I've given it. But on my pack out, I broke it up. I was pretty proud of myself. I broke it up into two trips. I also had camp just to be easier on myself and my back, because I need that for sure. And it's not worth it trying to pile a whole deer into your pack. It's pretty miserable. And funny thing is, I had to go back to South Dakota to have one of my longest pack outs. It ended up being just 2 miles, but I haven't had to really pack anything out further than that. Been hunting plenty further than that before, but it just never happens to be that far back that we get it done. And I always am hunting solo frequently. So a 6-7 mile back pack out would be very difficult. I typically don't always have people to call to for those situations to get something out. So yeah, I'm pretty proud of that hunt. I'm happy with it. I had another hunt lined up for the year to look for something a little bit bigger, and that's what I'm doing here in Colorado right now. I burned my 4 points in a unit I had hunted 2 years ago, and that hunt took me 7 hours to do. And I had seen a lot of big deer. So it convinced me, I got to go back. I need to do that hunt better. I know there were lots of big deer here. So I dropped my 4 points. I put some money into it and some time into it to get here and do all that sort of stuff and all the logistics, and gave myself 5 days. And I'm sort of regretting, should I have used 5 points on this hunt? Because it's just not quite the hunt I probably was looking for. Again, maybe not satisfied with my hunting for the year, just because this is a different kind of hunt. This is a rancher style hunt where there's private ground. I feel like I'm East River, South Dakota, and agricultural ground, farm fields, where it's just small parcels, but yet there's big chunks of it too. It's kind of weird, where you just got to drive around and find them and somehow make a play on them. But you can't make a play on them in the country that you would it's not the kind of country that allows you to make a play on them like you would somewhere else. You only have the boundaries of that little piece of that little bit of walk in. And so you're at mercy of a lot of things. And I made a stock today that didn't work at all. The wind was horrible, blowing right at him, but I had no other option. And believe it or not, at 400 yards, they stood up and looked my direction. I must stink pretty bad. But that's all right. I don't want to sound like I'm complaining about getting this tag or complaining about how this hunt is going. I'm getting after it. I am staying motivated, not getting down on myself. And that's the way a lot of hunts are. Whenever things are not going perfectly, you feel like you got to get down on yourself and get bummed out. But then again, I'm going back to my goals for the year of I'm trying to stay on the entire hunt and be ready for anything, be ready for something to pop out, even on that walk back to the truck. So I'm really trying to stay on and be ready. So that's kind of what's happening over this hunt. I've been grinding it out. I started the week, got here with 2 hours of daylight left, went and scouted a little bit, tried to find where some deer were. It's kind of fun because there's not a lot of hunters around. There's only 30 tags in this unit, and there's big deer, but good luck. You got to have permissions. You got to get lucky and maybe have those deer on private ground. And it's a hard hunt to be able to be successful, even though these deer might just stare at you in the field from at 100 yards when you pull up to them. But then if you get out of the truck or you try and drive down there, suddenly they just take off. There's no consistency in what they're doing. They're kind of they're a goofy critter. These mule deer, you'd think they'd go find some cedar trees or whatever else. Nope. They seem to really like the open. And it's almost like they act like antelope, where they need to be able to see what's going on, and they can stay in the middle of these sections, getting some good visibility to what's around them and the dangers that's around them. So that's kind of what I'm seeing. I started off doing a little bit more sitting on some pieces, thinking there'd be some other hunters or something to push things around, or just the tail end of the rut, getting some rut activity to push things to me. But I'm finding that didn't work. There wasn't enough movement, and there's not enough deer per acres of ground that are out here. There's just so much, a lot of land, and you have to travel a long ways to find some deer. I think each morning or evening I find some deer, a group of them, and that's probably consistent. Today I found quite a few, and I was on different groups each. All day. Yeah, it was definitely all day. But it's a different kind of challenge. This hunt is challenging in that I don't have the ground. I'm having to find it. And I did an episode about gaining permissions that was a flop, and I had someone give me some BS thing about how it was the worst episode ever. That's great and all, just don't tell me. One of the things that I did today worked really well. I gained a lot of permission today. Saw some deer and I sat on them, and I did some Googling like crazy. I spent about $4 today, probably risked some identity theft, but there is a few websites out there that contain a lot of information on you and landowners and all this sort of thing. So I've done a lot of Googling just using the landowner information on Onyx. I'm able to Google their name, address, and it oftentimes will give me something. Sometimes it pops right up and it's their number, and I get right through to them. That's pretty rare. I find some counties or areas it works a little bit more than others. Then there's these websites, MYTY, MyTY.com, that and National Cellular Directory. They don't always work. I just paid 99 cents to get a number that's been disconnected. But another time it did work. I called, got a piece of permission for a piece that just in case those deer crossed onto that, I would be ready. And it worked out that landowner lived in another state, and they said, let me call the farmer that's farming this place right now and ask. And he called me. He said, yeah, go right ahead. And he said, thanks for asking. He was really shocked that I even asked, because I think this kind of hunt and what a lot of people do is some straight poaching. I'm pretty sure most of these deer that are shot in this unit, they're probably not all on the up and up. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that just because it's a lot of, I'm sure people are road hunting. I'm sure they are. Well, I'm road hunting. I'm sure they're not getting 50 feet from the center line away from the road. They're not shooting where they're allowed to, because it's been easy. And I could have filled my tag probably 6-7 times already, but I've passed because it wasn't legal. It wasn't right. It wasn't ethical. So I let it go. There was a couple of times when that deer was hauling butt, and I could have shot him. Another time, I was on a piece of public walk-in area that was open to big game hunting, and the deer was on in the middle of some walk-in area next adjacent to this, but it's for small game hunting. Public access land, but not with the right requirements, so I passed. I'm pretty sure there's many other people that wouldn't have done that. Not saying I'm any better, but the temptation is there. The temptation is absolutely there, and that is going to be the reason why I don't do this hunt again. I'm really enjoying it, having a good time, but would I recommend this hunt? No. No, I don't think I would. It is a cheap hunt for a chance to get a really big deer. That's kind of what I've come to the conclusion on. There are so many big deer. I'm seeing a lot of 170s, 180s, maybe bigger. I don't know. The first time I've ever had a deer grow on me was today. So that deer ran at me and he grew. And I literally was saying that out loud. It's like, oh my gosh, he's big. Oh my gosh, he's big. He's growing. He got huge just as he got closer. So it was pretty surprising to see that. There are some really good deer here. Just not that possibility or opportunity to harvest one in a way that I feel good about. So I may just walk away from this hunt with nothing. I still have 2 days to go. I now have some permissions because that rancher or farmer that was so impressed that I called instead of doing things the wrong way. He said, well, do you have any place to hunt? I was like, not really. Well, he started saying some names and this and that and his family property and ranch, and I also know pretty much everybody in this area, so get a hold of me and we'll see if I can't twist their arm a little bit. And sure enough, he dropped me a whole bunch of waypoints. It's thousands of acres of stuff, but it's thousands of acres that I don't think had any deer on it this evening. I looked over it twice, all of it today, and you can do that by driving pretty much everything. There may have been some that just didn't want to come out, but I had a lot of access and it just still didn't happen. And that's part of one of the issues with this unit or units like this. I don't want to just say it's this one. It's a lot of units where there's very little public land. It's broken up by farmland, and people really treasure their mule deer. I was told by Colorado Parks and Wildlife, like, it's mostly private. The game warden said, people don't really want to give permission. Well, out of the four people I've talked to, I'm at 50%. Yeah. I've gotten through to four people, met two landowners, and the one said, well, I would, but I got people coming tomorrow. And then I got another person that said, oh, I would, but I got people coming tonight. Oh, and then I guess there was a fifth person, a lady who owns a huge chunk of ground, or she did, and she had just sold it in the last few years. And she said, oh, I certainly sure would have let you get on there, but I don't own it anymore. And now Hayden Outdoors is selling it for like $8 to $10 million. I was like, oh my gosh, they could have had something that is probably... I could have spent the rest of my time here and found a good deer and got him. So that's okay. I have those new permissions. I'm hopeful. Going to get out tomorrow and get after it again. So I'll give a little update and wrap that up all into this episode. So stay tuned for tomorrow. Well, that was day four, sort of. It's only 8:53 in the morning and day four is done. The hunt is done. Pretty cool little thing that happened this morning of all that permission that I had paid off and got invited back for future years to do this hunt, which I'm not sure if I want to do. And I had someone, one of my friends, ask if he would, or if I would recommend this hunt. And I was kind of looking for a good deer and just something that is close to home, gives me an opportunity to go try something new. I guess it's not new. I've been here before. I needed a little bit more about with this hunt. I didn't have enough exposure to this unit the first time I hunted because the hunt didn't last very long. So I wanted to explore a little bit more and have to work at it. And I definitely had to, but saw some amazing deer. Just, you got to work for them and be able to figure out how to get on them on these little pieces of property. And it's a struggle, but a good challenge, and a great challenge to have in trying to figure out how to harvest a big deer. And I ended up just with a nice, respectable buck, something that I'd be happy with just about anywhere. And burning 4 points on this unit made me, that's where I got to think. Am I going to build up 4 points again and do this hunt? By then it might be 5, 6 points. You never know. Or after telling all you might find out what unit it is and be like, I'm going there, and it takes 6, 7. So who knows? But great hunt. Eastern Colorado is loaded with some really good deer. I think there's a lot of units with this same sort of situation, and you should have the opportunity to find some private to hunt on by calling and asking. That was the best thing to do, using those random web pages that now in my inbox today, I've got all kinds of spam email of random stuff. So that's just great. But I'll have to go through and report spam on those emails. So this gives you a good idea of kind of a hunt where you have to get some permission, have to work at it and figure out how to get on some of these deer. And it was a good time. I enjoyed it. Just me and my dog had some time to just spend in the truck driving around, and that's who I talked to for the last 4 days is my dog. And I had to call up some buddies to see what they would do in different situations. But thanks again for listening to me just ramble on about various thoughts on a hunt. But that's kind of what we do when we're out hunting, is we kind of talk about this and that and what works, what doesn't work. You get down on yourself, you get your highs, your lows, and that sort of thing. So thanks again for listening. But it ain't my ground, this is God.